And Lord willing, we'll get after the fifth chapter this evening. And before we start the fifth chapter, just a little bit of recap. Now we've seen the Spirit inspire John at this time in the first three chapters. Again, he was looking over that church age. And so important, I believe the Lord has impressed upon me again, is this is for me, this is for you. And you will find yourself in one of these seven churches at this time. You are somewhere in one of those places. And as we understand at the very first of the first chapter of Revelation, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is the revelation of His bride. It is. Because there's a completeness in that. And by the grace of God, when we started chapter 4, we stepped into the throne room. John was taken up in spirit, and the next vision occurred. And the occurring vision was that of the throne room. He was taken up into spirit there. And so importantly, the very first thing after he saw Christ Jesus in the throne is he sees the first company seen in heaven, those 24 elders. Such a wonderful sight, such a wonderful promise. And so wonderfully, and not surprising at all, but it follows the Word of God. As we read last week, and again, we're moving through this somewhat quickly. I'd encourage you to go home and study the Word again. Be one of those Berean saints to make sure that those things that were being said were true. See, Paul commended them because they went back and they studied, they looked, they weren't just taking it off the cuff. By the grace of God, I want to give out the Word as He, through His Spirit, gives us strength. But we need to be those that search the Scriptures. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we can rightfully divide the Word of God, not being ashamed, but being a workman under His hand, that there's a pleasing to God in that. And obviously that benefit is all ours as we do rightfully divide and get into our inheritance. We've talked about that many times. We've heard that analogy before. If you had a real rich mom or dad, I'm sure you'd want to know what you were going to inherit. Bill Gates was your daddy. Mr. Buffett, all those. I'd sure kind of want to know what I was going to inherit. And this is something that moth can't get at, that rust can't get at, that man can't get at, that the tax man can't get at. All those different things can't get at because it's forever. And by the grace of God, it's just the exceeding riches. They increase at an increasing rate as they found this universe to do. I think that's so indicative of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what He is all about. He's increasing at an increasing rate in us. Praise God. But again, we see that first group, the 24 elders. We understand that these are the overcomers in the Old Testament. This is a separate company. They are seen very close to the throne, very close to Jesus. So wonderful. But then comes the second group that's seen in heaven, right after they are. And again, we went over there into 1 Thessalonians, and we saw that the dead in Christ rise first, don't they? Those are the 24 elders, praise God, that would be there before us. And then the dead in Christ, obviously, that are the Smyrna saints, that are the ones that are sleeping right now, that are asleep in Christ, that will be raptured up together. As Brother Hill used to say so many times, I wonder if Brother Copley will come through my door today and say, let's go, D.E., let's go on up to heaven. Huh? Well, what about that? Maybe both of them will come this evening and start running through here as well as some of the other saints and say, I think it's about time to go. You hear that trumpet? I'm telling you, it's about ready to happen. And we need to be in that type of expectation. That's the greatest expectation we can have, is the expectation that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is going to, in that trumpet language, He's going to call His bride home. And I want to understand and be attentive to that wonderful trumpet that's going to sound by His grace. So we see these two wonderful companies up in heaven at this time before the tribulation, and we understand, as we read there about the Church of Philadelphia, that they were a church that they didn't enter the tribulation. They were spared from it because they had kept the word of His patience. There was something dear to them. There was something that they saw, that there was a first love, that Christ was so precious to their life that they were raptured prior to the tribulation. Isn't that precious? And so many people, again, try to lump things together. I was speaking to a man And actually two different ones that had come up to me last week and said, I had a minister that always told me those four living creatures were angels. And I said, well, in the fifth chapter that we're going to read tonight, and we mentioned last week, I've never heard of an angel being redeemed, have you? There's only one thing that can be redeemed, and that's a human. Praise God, it's a human. And that's what those four living ones obviously were, as we're going to read this evening. But again, there's a seven-year tribulation that's going to come upon the earth. And it's going to come soon. We can see the signs, as the Lord says, as you see these things start to happen, look up. Because it's soon. It's going to be nigh. I'm about ready to come. And we can see this world blowing apart. We can see the wonderful prophecy that the Word tells us about the love of many waxing cold. That people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're seeing that even in the Christian world today. That people are falling more and more away from the things of God. They're given over to a lie because they have itching ears and like the silly women that are led away. We're into self-help. Many of the Christian churches today even profess, well, we're leaving doctrine because the people don't want it. Well, I say that's a shame, but praise God, because that's the prophecy that they said would happen. They wouldn't want sound words. They wouldn't want sound doctrine. They don't want to be in a study like we're having by the grace of God this evening, where we're going through line upon line, precept upon precept. They say, you mean, brother, you really go through verse upon verse through a Bible study? How do people sit through that? I said, I don't know. I think most of them stand up and they're about ready to shout and go to heaven. Because you understand this is yours. This is real stuff we're talking about here. But again, this tribulation time is about to start. And this group, this company, this wonderful bride is going to be taken before, right at the beginning of it. And you see that is the first group in heaven. So praise God for it. And really, before we go on, I'd like to just touch on a couple more thoughts here too. For some that may have been new in the meeting and maybe new to this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. But you'll even see from the very beginning, the Word of God speaks about this. Adam, his body, and throughout the Word of God, you understand that's a representation of believers. It's the representation of the body. And when he went to sleep, and that's what it says is happening right now to Christianity at this time, they're sleeping. They're drunken in the night. They're not paying attention. You talk to Christians. Is Jesus' coming their focal point? It's not. And it's a shame. But when Christ is your first love, and I think about how, by the grace of God, when I was courting my wife, and I'm still thankful I love her today, but when I was courting her, I'll tell you what, I wanted to see her. She lived in a different state. And I just thought about seeing her all the time, when she would be coming, when she would come down that plankway, when the plane would pull up, my heart would be racing a million miles an hour because I wanted to see her so much. Now, in a sense, and in a more sense, we understand that's how it needs to be with Jesus Christ. But you talk about that in the Christian world today and they think you're nuts. They really do. And I said, well, what do you think Christianity is? What do you think that the ultimate of this whole thing is about? It's about meeting the Lord in the air. Oh, hallelujah. By the grace of God, to meet the Lord in the air. But you'll see in that Adam, there was a sleep put upon him. And that's when his rib was taken out from him. It wasn't his whole body that God used to make his bride. It was just a rib portion. And you'll notice that rib portion, in a sense, is the closest to God's heart. I appreciate that so much. But that was a whole body made from that little rib. And that was the wife. Talk about types and signs. Then we go into Isaac when he wanted that bride. There she came. She said, I will go. And she left the family and all that. And there was Eliezer wooing her on to him. Then in the Song of Solomon and so many other places throughout the Word of God, these types and signs and shadows of a bride that would be for Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It said that there were many virgins, but thou excellest them all. I'm telling you. The little sister in the Song of Solomon, she was a beautiful thing. She was a wonderful thing. But she wasn't mature to go marry the Shulamite woman. She was the one that was prepared. She was the one that was mature. By the grace of God, she was the one that was ready and had readied herself to marry Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It is. It's such a perfect pattern. It's such a perfect type. But even in 1 Corinthians, before we go on here, I just want to touch a couple verses here. Again, for those that may have been around people that say, oh, there's just one rapture and everybody's going to get the same thing. And now I agree everybody's going to be happy and satisfied in heaven. It says that there's not going to be any pain or sorrow. And a lot of people don't get that. Well, if this guy's got more than I do, then I'm going to be a little bit upset because, you know what? No, we're talking about God. And I appreciate how Brother Copley brought that out. He said everybody's going to have a cup in heaven. And in that cup, most importantly, it's going to be full and it's going to be overflowing. So if I have a cup that's full and overflowing, what do I care about? In a sense, I've got everything that I need. But it's the size of the cup. It's the wealth that was put into that cup. And I could see that by the grace of God that, Lord, I want to have the largest cup that You'll give me. And you know what? He'll withhold nothing from me. He'll give me everything if I'll go after Him for it. So again, if we go to 1 Corinthians and we read in the chapter 15, verse 23... Actually, let's just go up to verse 20. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming." There's an order that happens here. There's an order in this resurrection is going to happen here. Now, let's go over to the 40th verse of that same 15th chapter. It says, "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead." Now, brothers and sisters, what this is saying is there's going to be some that shine a little bit brighter than others. They're going to have a different kind of light. If you see that there's a glory of the moon, and the moon is a beautiful thing, but that's a reflected light, isn't it? Now, I want to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. But I want the sun glory in my life. I want Him not just reflecting off me. I want Him illuminating out of me, just like we talked about. You know, we want that illumination by the grace of God. And that's the sun glory that He's after. And as we've touched in, Revelation 21, where that bride adorned, she's coming down, she's got her own glory. And that's the very glory that's given of sun glory. That's the wonderful bride and how she is going to be seen. So, again, that's kind of a quick little notes and bits and pieces on that. But I would hope that, again, that might spur us on to continue to search and have the Holy Spirit. Because we can read these things. We can say, well, yeah, I know about the bride. That doesn't get it. I have to know it's for me. This is mine. This is mine. This is His love story to me. And that revelation of Jesus Christ by the grace of God is going to be my revelation as well too, because I, by His grace, want to be one with Him. Now, let's start chapter 5, and we'll keep going here, Lord willing, and we'll work through it. "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne." And again, last week in chapter 4, we saw that the one that was sitting on the throne was no other than Christ Himself. And praise God that the 24 elders and those four living ones fell down and were worshiping the wonderful King. Praise His name. But in that right hand, again, that speaks of all authority is in His hand. See, a lot of people, again, right now, talk about the wonderful grace of God. They're just so obnoxious. They're obnoxious to Christians, obnoxious to especially Jesus. They mock Him openly now. They did back then, but it's almost a... politically correct thing to actually mock the Lord, isn't it? That's what we've become. Yeah, I'm just calling it like it is. We need to, by the grace of God, stand up for things that are scriptural and stand up for the truth by the grace of God and quit trying to compromise and just fitting in this old world. I want to seek peace with them as much as lies within me. But you know what? I don't want to hide my light. I don't. By the grace of God, I'm going to let it shine. I am thankful that He's bringing a boldness in my life that I don't care anymore. I don't. I want to be about His business. And you know, by the grace of God, I'm finding more and more that it'll be a love that'll attract people like nothing else. And then it'll also be the sword as it is that'll cut people away and cut to the heart and into those joints like nothing else. And there'll be a hatred that comes out. Because if you hate the Lord, by the grace of God, you're going to hate me. Because I want to go on with Jesus Christ. And that's how it's going to be. You know, Jesus, people didn't really feel kind of lukewarm about him in a sense. They really didn't. They either loved him or they hated him. And by the grace of God, I think that's how he's working in this world today. So again, it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And within this book, we read what was going to be revealed there back in chapter 4, verse 1. And at the end of that, it says, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. These are the things that are going to be unfolded. These are the things that are going to be completed. And you notice it has seven seals, and that always speaks of spiritual perfection, spiritual completion. And let me tell you something. God's plan is always perfect, and it's always complete. And what's in that scroll, and what's going to be let out upon this old world, is going to be perfect and complete. And it's coming. And so precious, as you're going to see when we get into the sixth chapter, God willing, when these seals are loosed, there's the first seal all the way through the seventh, you're going to see that it's the four living ones. It's the bride of Christ that's bringing that judgment out. See, we can be heirs of God and joint heirs, if so be, that we suffer together with Him. And we can rule and reign with Jesus Christ if we'll take that place with Him in suffering. And this is that place of joint reigning, is bringing out the judgment with Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? These aren't fairy tales. This is true stuff. This is reality. This is a place that God not only is offering you, but He wants you to have. He wants you to take this place with Him and His wonderful Son and to rule and to reign. He said that all would come, that all would be saved and come to a full knowledge. That was His will. Now we understand everybody's not going to be saved and everybody's not going to come to a full knowledge, but that surely is the will of God. And it's our choice by His grace. Are we going to enter into that full will of God? Okay, so it says, and written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Now again, many people get confused about these angels. Going back to the first chapter when we began, remember that an angel just means a messenger. Okay, and when I say just means, I don't want to make light of that as well either. But throughout the Word of God, most of the time an angel is referring to a person. And by the grace of God, I want to be a messenger of His Word. I want to be a messenger of His grace. I want to be a messenger of His love. And this is exactly who this messenger is. And you'll notice it's a strong angel. And I really believe that this is pointed to one of those elders, the 24 elders, proclaiming with a loud voice to all. There's nothing to be discreet about here. There's nothing done in secret. He's claiming this to all, and he's claiming this to all mankind. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is proclaiming His authority to everyone. Mankind is without excuse. Christ Jesus is, He has been revealed to all men. All men. So don't ever think, well, that poor person didn't have the opportunity. We are without excuse. Completely without excuse. And by His grace, we could all say, well, it was because I had too much. It was because I had too little. It was because my dad was too nice and enabled me in too many things. It was because my dad was too mean and kept me from too many things. Where do the excuses stop? They never will. That's why you're without it. And if you miss His best, it's you. If you miss His best, it's you. If you win His best, it's Him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You see how He turns it? Praise God for that. Thank You that we have such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. But it says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? There's an important matter here. There's something being proclaimed. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, nor was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. This is again just proclaiming our and all of mankind's unworthiness. We all failed. We all came short. We all have sinned. We all are wicked. We all, there is nothing good. There's none righteous, no, not one. A lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of Christians don't even like to hear that. Let me tell you something. Before I can shine, oh, hallelujah, like the insides of those wonderful tents, I have to understand that I was black as the tents of Kedar. I'm going to tell you, I need to understand by the grace of God all the time the humility that He did it all. That He is it, all of it. That by His grace, He has to draw me even to worship Him. Praise His name. And it says here, "And I wept much." This is John again. "Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And I appreciate this verse, and I appreciate John, because he realized that there would be a sadness. When you don't have any hope, let me tell you something, you're sad. You're in a bad way. That's this world today. That's why we should have compassion upon people that don't know Jesus Christ. Now, sure, it's their fault, but I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for when I visit with people in the office in there that whether they, especially if they don't know the Lord and they don't have a hope and they just kind of just sit there and mill around and don't understand anything and there's no vision, there's no light because they're dead. They're dead. There is no hope in this world. There's no hope that you're going to find. It will all run out. And then I'll go a little bit further, how much it hurts my heart when I visit with a Christian that is having the trouble with faith. That's all it is. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's exactly what it is. And you just got the enemy. A lot of people don't like to hear that as well too. There is an enemy. And that enemy is out to do, to kill, steal, and to destroy. And especially Christians. And without a vision, you're going to perish. And this is the problem with John here at this time, in a sense. This is, I really believe, what the Lord's telling me when I was reading this. This is how hopeless and despairing most Christians are. But thank God we didn't end in verse 4. We go to verse 5. "And one of the elders said unto me, weep not." You know why the elder said weep not? Because he had a vision. Because he was a full overcomer. Because he knew God. He knew his Son. To know him. To be able to rightfully divide the Word of God. To understand that these things, you know, people are getting excited about Korea over there having, I hate to kind of tongue in cheek it, bombs that don't work. But, but I'm sure there's some that have bombs that work. And you know, it doesn't really matter. But you can see this old world ganging up and all this type of thing. And there's little old Israel, kind of the thorn in everybody's flesh, and just prodding them on. And you know, that just happened. You know, that was just a coincidence that God mentioned it and that Israel would be the catalyst of everything going on. Come on now. That little old back of the... I mean, and that's on the back of nowhere. And it's nothing. And who cares? And God cares. Amen, sister. That's right. Because God cares. And He set it all up. And how ridiculous to think that if man was so smart and it wasn't God's will that that would all be around that little country, don't you think we would stop it? But you know what? We can't help but do His will. The sinner can't help but do what God said that they're going to do. And they're doing exactly what He said. They're mocking His Son. They're preparing for war. They're vain in their own imagination. Everybody's smart today. Even Christianity, now it's just psychology when you go up there and hear. We don't want to hear these things. We want to hear, like we said earlier, about self-help. There's nothing in self-help. You'll never, ever get anything from self-help. I was thinking the one thing is, though, they missed it. It's help yourself. It's like a smorgasbord with God. Just go on in there and help yourself. That's how God wants us to be. Praise His name. Okay, so let's keep it going. All right, so he said that he wept much, and then here steps up one of the elders. So precious. This is one of those 24 elders. He said unto him, "Weep not. Behold, look what's here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." This is our Jesus. Hallelujah. You will read back in the Old and even in the New Testament here. This is what the prophecy was. There would be one out of the tribe of Judah. There would be the one out of the Root of David, and he hath prevailed. What a wonderful word. Prevailed means he finished, he accomplished, it's done. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, it was finished. It was over. It was done right then. Do you realize that? There was nothing more that needed to be done. Everything was going to be set up. He had to become the lamb slain. And we're going to read about that here in a moment. But thank you, Lord, that it was finished. There was nothing that ever needed to be done after that. It was done in Him. And so He prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. So wonderful. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Here we go again. I praise God for this. Here comes the four living ones. And in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. This is where those four living ones are. The wonderful bride of Christ, the full overcomer. And in the midst of the elders. So now we have this, if you kind of think about it, here you have in the midst of the throne, you have the four living ones. And then around that, because they're very close, but not in the midst, is the 24 elders, the overcomers in the Old Testament, stood a lamb. As it had been slain. Now again, I thank the Lord that I see Him as the Lamb slain. Because if you don't see Him as the Lamb slain, you're going to see Him as the one with feet of brass. You're going to see Him the one with the fire in His eyes. Remember we read about Him? That's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to see Him as the Lamb slain. I want to see Him as on that throne. But He's my Savior. Praise God. And that's how we will see Him. That's how we will see Him someday. Oh, hallelujah. All right. But here He stands in the midst of the throne. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. Having seven horns. And the horns speak of perfect strength. So here's this little lamb. And I want to mention one thing about that lamb too. In the Greek, that word is lambkin. That's not the Greek word, but it means the lambkin. That's the smallest, the weakest, the most frail of all the sheep. This wasn't just a lamb. This was the runt of the litter lamb. Jesus had to become the weakest of all. He did. He did. And you know, His bride is going to be like Him. That's what the Word says. He made Himself of no reputation. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we shouldn't seek reputation in a sense that way. I want to be known as a Christian, but it's not about me, it's about Him. It's about humility in Christ. We'll see that even those four living ones we read about last week, and they're mentioning again. Remember, one was like a lion, one was like a calf, one was like a man, and one was like an eagle. All four of those representative of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those were all the different disciples that wrote about Jesus and how they saw Him as the King, which Jesus is and was, as the servant, the one, the sacrifice, that's the calf, as the man, and He had to become man, very man, to come to this earth and to die, so He could comfort us, so He could fulfill that law as a man, to understand that He was perfect in every way, that He was God in the flesh, praise His name. And then finally, that He is the overcoming one, the eagle, soaring over it all. Now think about what the Word of God says. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Again, it's not that we're smart. It's not that we're trying to pull things. It's just that's what the Word of God is. It connects the dots back and back and back. What about the other verse where it says, from glory to glory into even the very image of Him? She's going to be like Him. You're going to see John as this one keeps showing him around in heaven. John, after a while, keeps falling down and worshiping this person. Why? Because he thinks that it's Christ Jesus. It's one of these, I'm confident, it's one of these wonderful four living ones, the bride of Christ that's leading him around. And John, he knew the Lord. Sure he did. Praise God. He was with the Lord. He was the disciple that loved the Lord. And yet he was the one that was falling down and worshiping this one that was taking him around. And praise God, what did that one say? He said, oh, no, no, no. Don't worship me. I'm not worthy to be worshiped. I'm just like Him. He's getting all the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I love how Jesus brings this all in. And again, brothers and sisters, this is for you. This is for you. But this wonderful Lamb had seven horns, speaks of perfect strength. Seven eyes, speaks of his perfect vision. And the seven spirits of God, which speaks of perfect ability, sent forth into all the earth. And you think about this. This is that those seven spirits that God, through his Son, through the Holy Spirit, sent to all the seven churches. Do you remember how we read about that? These are the seven spirits, the full ability. Jesus Christ stopped at nothing to give us everything, to become mature and complete in him. And he sent it to every church. He didn't send it just to this church or that church. He would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. He didn't stop. He held back nothing. I appreciate the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only did he die on that cross, he said, I must go. There was even more of that plan, which was so beautiful. And just think how much he loved. He didn't want to depart, in a sense. But he said, I must go so the Comforter may come. There's many things I want to share unto you guys. I want you to understand all these things. But you know what? You can't bear them now. You can't understand them now. These were the disciples, again, that slept and supped and were with Jesus for 3.5 years, day and night. But you can't understand these things right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, if you'll let him in your life, if you'll yield to the Spirit, if you'll yield to me, he'll lead you into all truth. Grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many times does he have to tell us, huh? Over and over and over. See, lay that dead man down, like we were talking about Sunday. Get him out of here. All he's going to do is hinder you. He makes your life stinky. He does. He really does. I want to be about grace business. That's how I'm going to grow up. If I keep dragging around that old man, I'm never going to be able to feast upon the meat of the Word. He said, you should be having strong meat, but you're only able to have the milk. You should be teaching, and yet look what you've become. I want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. So, seventh verse. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, I appreciate this. I was visiting with a brother this week, and I said, isn't it interesting how we have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is on this throne, yet he's also the Lamb that's taken the book out of his own hand? Well, see, the Bible's contradicting itself again. Come on now. Don't you see him as God, very God? But do you know that for him to be God, very God, he had to become man? He had to become the man. For him to be able to take the book, for him to be able to bring out the plan of the whole ages, he had to die. That's why he finished it. That's why that word is, he prevailed. I'll jump ahead a little bit. Think about verse 12 down there. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, strength, honor, and glory and blessing. Jesus had to become the Lamb slain to receive this for himself in us. This is amazing stuff. Oh, I love it. See, he's not complete without us. He's not. Without his bride, by his grace, we will be in that if we'll just run. And run well. Praise his name. Okay. So in the seventh verse, he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So I hope that we can see that this isn't something that's hard to understand. It's just a wonderful vision of Jesus Christ as God in the throne and as Jesus Christ as the Lamb. So hope that maybe clears something up for somebody. All right. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And I appreciate these two groups of overcomers. There's something that's wonderful about them. They're always in wonderful harmony, aren't they? You ever heard a thing called the unity of the Spirit? It says, seek the unity of the Spirit. It really does. Not the unity of people, not the unity of brotherhood or this type of thing. The unity of the Spirit. That's what we want to be in. And that's what Jesus Christ is calling us into by His grace. And this is what these wonderful overcomers were. They were in perfect harmony. They weren't worrying about one another in a sense of, well, who has this and he has that. And I'm worried about his golden vial and I'm worried about his harp. And they were just in complete harmony. Is that how you're looking at your brother and your sister here today? I hope it is. That's what we're here to do, to seek in unity of that wonderful Spirit that God has given us. And you'll notice that they're worshipers. Think all the time again that they're worshipers. And the other thing that's so wonderful about this, they're doing perfect service that the Lord has given them. See, I want to be one that is willed and does of the Lord's good pleasure. He causes me to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is what this has come into, is that there's worship and their service, so precious. They fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, which speaks of praise, the golden vials, which speaks of prayer, full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And again, this next verse is how they'll take part in the judgment and reigning with Jesus Christ. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And again, this is the four beasts. These are the 24 elders that are saying this at this time. These are human beings. They sing, they pray, and they're redeemed. Okay? Angels sing. They can give thanks in a sense and do exactly what God tells them to do. But they're not redeemed. They're just created things. These are human beings, praise His name. And they have been redeemed by us, by God, to God, I should say. And hast made us, it doesn't stop there, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, so wonderful here that they're made, and by His grace we are made kings and priests, and have that ability to reign, overcoming as joint authority with Jesus Christ. So absolutely wonderful. All right. Verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, such a wonderful thing to be said about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to turn with me real quick over to chapter 7, verse 12. And this is such a precious... Actually, let's go back to verse 9. And I think this is a wonderful tie-in that you can see that there is a little bit of difference here. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. We're going to get here by God's grace, if Lord tarry. And we're going to get into this, and we're going to see that this is the next group, or another group, that's seen in heaven. This is the innumerable multitude. These are the ones that didn't heed to their first love. They're the ones that left their first love. These are the ones that are going to be raptured into heaven, later on into the tribulation. It'll be before the great tribulation this innumerable multitude is taken up, but this is this group seen in heaven. You'll notice as we're reading here that they're not seen in the midst of the throne. They're seen before the throne, standing on a sea of glass. Okay, there's a different place for them. We'll read about in another place too that they'll have palms in their hands. They're not seen with crowns on their head. There's differences here with these groups of the people of what they're doing in heaven, what they're wearing in heaven, what they're saying in heaven, and most importantly, what they're seeing in heaven. Mm-hmm. And they're there at a different time, okay? So, stay with me here on this, jumping ahead, but I think this will really mean something to you here. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues and people, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God. See, they cry salvation. The bride cries something else, but we'll get into that later. Which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the wonderful things about that verse, verse 12, where it says blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might, is very similar to what we read here in the 12th verse, where it talks about power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. There's one thing missing, though. It's the riches. Okay? The bride of Christ gets into and sees the exceeding riches of His grace, the exceeding riches of His glory. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Colossians 1:27. This might tie it in a little bit more clearly. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Actually, let's go to verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. These are the riches of His glory. The riches of His glory are seen and treasured by the four living ones. There's a riches and glory that's also seen by those 24 elders. But brothers and sisters, we need to see it now. We do. For us to see it there, we're going to need to see it now. And I hope that we're seeing the riches more and more each and every day as we live by His grace for Him. I believe we can finish this up here, so we'll keep on going here. All right, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne. Now this is getting into Romans 14:11 where it says every knee is going to confess. I mean every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. And it's going to happen. And by His grace I want it to even go further in my life that He says and make them known that He has loved me. Huh? See, that's that Church of Philadelphia, praise God, that He has said, let me tell you something, when anybody, by the grace of God, I think when they will love their wife, people know that man loves his wife. There's no doubt about it. Well, let me tell you something, with Jesus Christ, there's not going to be any doubt that that is the focal point of the eternities, is going to be His wife. That's a joint heir. Even up to half of my kingdom. Wasn't that precious? When Esther went to that king and he said, man, you've just ravished my heart. You got a request? Well, I'll tell you something. Before you even ask it, you can have anything up to half of my kingdom. See, God just doesn't say words. These aren't just words. These have meaning. This is what He wants for you. Can you believe that? I know you're sitting there and saying, oh, it couldn't be me. Is that guy sitting behind me? You know? It's for you. It's for me. Get excited about it. Know who you are to Jesus. Know who He wants you to be. You're meaningful to Him. You're so meaningful that God gave His Son. And that's such a wonder that He gave His Son to die for you. But He gave everything. Everything. And everything was in His Son. Praise His name. But that praise went unto the Lamb forever and ever. And that's why I say we, by His grace, need to understand what that lamb slain is in our life. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that lives forever and ever. And I appreciate this very last verse. We understand in John 4:23, it says that God is seeking those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I was kind of meditating on this today. I was thinking how I've had many people say, well, do you have like a praise and worship leader? And I said, well, now we are a praise church, but we have the truth by the grace of God as well too, you know, in spirit and truth. And I appreciate that. But I was thinking about how people put so much emphasis in some churches upon the spirit and the worship. You know what I'm saying? You can have all the spirit and worship you want, but if you don't have the truth, you're missing it. And you can have all the truth you want, but if we don't have the worship with it, we're missing it as well. There's a balance there, and you understand. It's the spirit and truth. And I believe this is what's so wonderful about, and so simple if you read this last verse with me again. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down. And you've got to get down to worship the Lord. You've got to get off your high horse. You've got to get off of all your thoughts of you, of how you're going to have God on your own terms. And you better get rid of it. Because you'll never be a worshiper until you do. You just won't. You won't. You're going to have to come to Him His way. And His way is through His Son. And His way is going to be in complete acknowledgement that all authority, just like we've been reading here, all authority has been put in His hands. For your life. Yes, for this universe. But most importantly, for my life. He has all authority in my life. When I can get to that place, I can get so close to Him. He's not going to move. He's right there. It says, I'll go boldly before Him. But I go boldly because I know that His desire is toward me. It's toward me. And that's got to be real by the grace of God. And just something that is just known in faith that His desire is toward me. But it says, and the 24 elders fell down and they worshipped, there's the Spirit, Him. And there's the truth. You see how simple that is? Worship Him. Is that what your life's about? I want to be a pleasing vessel, don't you? And I want Him to fill this vessel with everything, everything that He's got. And there's going to come times when I feel like I'm going to be pressed out of measure. I'm going to be despairing of my own life. I'm going to say, Lord, are You sure You know what You're doing? Because You said You wouldn't test me beyond what You can bear. And I'm going to tell You that was hours and days ago. We got there. I feel like I'm on a journey that You don't even know about. Did we get past the line? No. That's the time I just say, Lord, let me worship Him. Isn't that simple? Oh, praise God. That liveth forever and ever. Okay, let's pray. Thank You, Jesus, again for giving us time to come and worship You. Lord, help us to be those that would worship You in spirit and truth and in all sincerity again, Lord, that we would come boldly, knowing that You do know us. But Lord, that we could come boldly to know You and to know You better. And Lord, to know most importantly how Your undying, unending love is always towards us. Lord, help us to have a vision. Help us to have such a revelation of that You want us to be on that throne. That You want nothing more than for us to just be ruling and reigning jointly with You someday. To be prepared to meet You in the air. Lord, give us that hope, give us that vision, and make it a reality by faith in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.